From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 17th day of August, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In between those two, if we get lucky, Chip Flory and Roger Bernard will both call us to report in on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Chip was in South Dakota this morning, should be in Nebraska this afternoon. Roger started the day in Ohio. He's now in Indiana. Hopefully, we'll hear from both of them before we get to the end of the program, when we'll ask the folks at Chesapeake Energy just how wet they'll get all week as they make their way across the Midwest on that Pro Farmer Crop Tour. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this for the day. September wheat futures were down a dime at 471 and three quarters on their settlement price for the afternoon. December futures at 499 and a half were 10 cents lower. And the March contract at 518 and a half, down 10 and a quarter. September corn futures, 314 and a quarter, five lower. December down six at 321 and three quarters. And the March at 335 and a half, six lower. May futures from the corn pit at 345, down 5 and 3 quarters. In July at 353 and a half, down 5 and a half cents. September soybean futures, $9.88, a settlement price 36 and a half lower. November at 954 and a half, down 27. January at 960 and a half, 27 and a half lower. And the March contract at 962 and a half, down 26 and a quarter. May futures at 959 and three quarters, down 21 and one quarter. September bean meal at 309.50, down 980 on the afternoon. September soybean oil at 35.87, 131 lower. August live cattle futures now 84.30, 35 cents lower. October at 87, 82 and a half, down 72 and a half. August feeders 2.5 cents lower at $100.67.5, and the September futures at $100.40 a hundredweight, up 20 cents. October lean hog futures at $44.70, 5 cents higher in December futures on the afternoon on a Monday at $44.57.5, down 25 cents for the day. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like as they settle up on the afternoon in the crude oil pit. September contract at $66.75, settled down 76 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.54.2, down 1.3. The natural gas at $3.18.3, 5.5 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline at $1.94.7. That's a 13 and a penny and 3 tenths higher, rather. And the heating oil at $1.82 and 2 tenths, down 1 and 8 tenths of a cent. Propane futures at 90 cents even. Settlement price there 1 and 8 tenths cents of a lower. And the August gold futures at $934.30 an ounce, $12.70 lower for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 9,146 is just about 175 points higher on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 79.29 is 0.40 higher. And the CRB index at this hour at 253.33 is down 3.99. I think I told you the Dow was I did tell you it was down 175, and that's where it remains at this point. We'll talk a bit more about the marketplace in just a moment. When Kurt Kimmel joined us right now, here's weather forecast for the two-state region. Mostly cloudy skies tonight, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Lows will range from 62 in northwestern Illinois to 72 in the south. And then tomorrow in northern Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will range from 80 in the north to 88 in the far south.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. On the line with us today is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
I barely hear you, Todd.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let me check something out here and I'll change that out. There you go. I bet you can hear me a lot better now.
You're loud and clear now.
Well, I was hoping that you could hear me very well on the other line. I was testing something because we're going to try to put Roger Bernard and Chip Flory both on at the same time, and one of them is not going to be able to hear me. Hopefully, it'll be quiet in the cornfield they're calling from. They should call in pretty shortly. Unlike normal, where I would usually call them, they'll be calling me. So we'll have to work our way through that process. But let's talk about what's happening in the marketplace for the day. Beans were down again. What were the numbers like for the afternoon, and what were the reasons?
Well, lower closes. Definitely, when you looked at the close at 7:15 this morning and what the market did after that, sort of dodged a bull here a little bit, even though we closed down 27 to 36 cents of the beans. Kind of feel like it was a sort of a moral victory. The thing we saw in the November beans on the chart was that it sort of held our support line at 9:45. Got down to 44, a penny below there, but was able to bounce off that. We need some follow-through momentum buying here to sort of give us some serious up. Tomorrow we'll probably have a contrary turnaround Tuesday. We expect some help from the outside markets tomorrow, too. That was a thorn in the side from last Friday with the Dow crude and metals all lower here. There's no encouragement. A lot of the selling pressure was from the funds. They sold 5,000 beans, 10,000 corn, and 4,000 wheat on the day. A lot of throwing in the towel. Commercials took protection earlier this morning and shook or scared some cash movement loose. So hopefully we've seen a little bit of selling pressure run its course here and get some type of so-called dead cat bounce, Todd.
Well, throwing in the towel, that doesn't sound all that good on the longer term. Are you fearful now that we'll continue to run down as we head into the harvest?
I don't think we'll just fall out of bed here. We can sort of grind and consolidate sideways to lower here for a while. The overall economic picture is a lot different from a year ago. A year ago, we were loaded up long and big bulls, and then the tide turned, and it was just get me out. I think we're just sort of trying to price in the crop. On this break-in through here, I think we're doing a seasonal function where we find some type of low prior to harvest or early harvest and see some recovery going into this winter. We'll see how demand unfolds as we move lower. We saw that China bought 118,000 tons of U.S. beans. There's going to be another sale announcement tomorrow morning. There's ideas they bought up another four cargoes of beans. So as long as China keeps buying in here, hopefully that'll turn the momentum. But two, I think probably the results from Chip and their work here this week will also shed a little light on where we are on the condition and maybe some production of the U.S. corn and bean crop.
Have you been following them online at agweb.com and their tweets and Twitter and all that sort of thing?
Not as much as I wanted to, but as I understand it, in Ohio there, they found corn and bean has good potential. A few fields in Ohio saw a yield potential of 175 versus 141 mm-hmm. on the same route a year ago. I think USDA is at 165 versus 135. So there's confirmation that the corn crop so far is looking fairly good. Pod counts up to 40% higher in Ohio. The good news there. And in the Dakotas, variable conditions there, confirmation that the crop's behind and it's going to have to get up and go here. And they did note quite a few holes out there in the western Corn Belt, too. But, you can go there and get some updates, and they'll have their final updates this evening here, what they saw throughout today.
Yeah, and they'll post those at agweb.com. That's agweb.com. And if you'd like to, you can learn what Twitter and tweeting is, and you can follow them all day long because they do post. They've been pretty good about putting little tidbits up here and there as they go through the afternoon. Hopefully we'll hear from both Roger Bernard, who's on the eastern leg of the Midwestern Pro Farmer Tour here in a bit, and Chip Flory. And he is scheduled, Chip is, that is, scheduled for Commodity Week this coming week as well. You know, I do want to go back to Commodity Week from the past week. You were on that program, wanted to talk quite a bit about livestock. And you're hopeful that the livestock market might turn around, is that right?
It's taken time. I've been quite bullish here for some time. We've been seeing this liquidation take place or unprofitability occur in the livestock sector and seen a steady stream of liquidation. There's not been massive liquidation, but we feel the economy is going to turn and red meat demand is going to pick back up in the future, along with the fact that we've liquidated a large portion of the livestock sector, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide. So we're quite bullish. What we've seen in the hog side is a dramatic decrease of imports from Canada. We're seeing that big flow of pork, or especially feeder pigs, slow down. Then here in the U.S., we've seen some sow herd liquidation. And even though we've seen some liquidation, ideas are that the pigs per litter is going to go up because we sort of maybe eliminated the sows that weren't producing as much. And so efficiency is going to go up. But two, what we've noticed, too, in the hog sector is gilt replacement is on a decline. So I don't see a big explosive move up in the pork, but I do see a big explosive move up on the beef side where numbers are much tighter, even though producers are feeding the heavier weights. The tonnage is going to be there overall. Livestock numbers on the beef sides down. So we're optimistic and feel that if a producer can survive for the next year, that there'll be some profit back in on the livestock side. But as an investor or one that likes to buy a side of beef and put in the freezer, we feel the opportunity is ripe to be involved there.
Okay, thanks much. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Oh, dynamic market, sharp up, sharp down. I wouldn't get too bearish here on this break. And above all, I'd stay tuned into Chip and their tweeters or tweeting or whatever they do there to keep you informed.
That's right. Okay, thanks much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and, of course, talking about AgWeb. At agweb.com, and the Pro Farmer folks operate that website. They're out on their Midwest crop tour this week. Hopefully they'll be calling in here shortly to give us an update of what they've been finding on both the eastern and the western legs of that tour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can hear it anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. We know USDA predicts this year's soybean crop will be a good one and even says it will be worth a dime more than first thought. Still, as you'll hear, the government's average season cash price estimate is just about the same as the current market value of the crop right now. And that may tell producers that it's time to sell soybeans when they rally up to 10 bucks. The cash and futures prices of soybeans are, or have been in recent weeks at least, above $10 a bushel. That price is higher than USDA predicts farmers will receive, on average, for their fall 09 soybean crop. The mid-range from USDA is 940 with a bottom at 840 and a top at 1040. Simply put, University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good says it means farmers should sell some beans now.
USDA is saying their midpoint is 940. I mean, we can sell soybeans close to 10 bucks, I think, out of the field. There's not much of a carry in the market, so the market is basically saying, you know, $10 beans is what is being offered right now. Again, that would be at the high end of the USDA's projected range for the year. Suggest that we should have some beans sold, I think. But as you mentioned, we still haven't quite got this crop in the bin yet, and if we would see some adverse weather, early frost, that type of thing, that would catch this late crop that could really change the balance sheet very quickly on soybeans. So I think we still have to be a little bit cautious on how aggressive we are marketing. The balance sheet continues to look fairly tight for next year, and we'll see how South America gets along. But $10 harvest delivery beans, got to have some sold, I think.
The U.S. soybean crop is predicted to be a record high 3.2 billion bushels strong. And early acreage predictions from South American crop consultants expect a 6% acreage increase in Brazil and for Argentine farmers to favor oil seeds over corn this year. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Roger Bernard from Pro Farmer and the AgWeb.com website has been out on the Midwestern Regional Crop Tour, and he's leading the eastern leg of that tour. He's been in Ohio and Indiana. I saw by your tweets this afternoon that you were somewhere, I think, near Kokomo, Roger. Thanks for calling in today. Tell me what you've been finding, please.
Well, as we took off out of Columbus, Ohio this morning, the route that I followed headed north out of Columbus, about straight north, found some really solid corn yield potential out there in a few of those fields, right around that 200 bushel mark. But as our route turned a little bit to the northwest and then straight west, we got up into that northwest crop district of Ohio, district number one. And, you know, as we've watched that drought monitor all year, you know, there's been a growing pocket of drought up in that portion of the state, and we could certainly see that as we moved into the into that general location. Very dry soils, big cracks in those soils. Our corn yields also started to tail off a bit once we reached that spot. And again, I got to stress, this is just one route out of nine that we ran today, covering west central, northwest, and you know, portions of Ohio. So we could tell that the impacts of the dry conditions were starting to show, seeing a little bit more some pollination issues perhaps with these corn fields. Yields dropping back according to our rough and dirty yield calculations we do, getting into that 130 to 160 range. So, you know, we could see what some of the impacts have been of the dry conditions. And that kind of continued as we've, you know, gotten into sampling into far northeastern Indiana as well. Over on the bean side of things, you know, starting to see those pod numbers pick up now as we've started to move into Indiana. Those Ohio bean pod counts kind of all over the board, really. Again, good-looking beans, though, healthy-looking beans. Not a lot of disease or insect pressures that we've been able to see in these fields so far, which is a good sign, you know, that you always like to see a healthy crop out there in these soybean fields. Those pod counts, though, again, that dryness may be, you know, not having perhaps as much impact on these beans as it appears to have had maybe on the corn potential. But there is a lot of late blooming that's happened in these bean fields maybe a week or two ago, and they're just needing another drink of water and really a pretty good drink here at this juncture in order to maintain the kind of bean pod counts that we're finding out here in these fields.
Have you been taking ear counts in the fields?
Yeah, they've been running, you know, they've been running pretty strong. Where we seem to find the most variability is when we get into the grain length on those ears. And that's where you can really start to see some of the impacts of those dry conditions. You start to see that tip back or, you know, pollination not getting all the way to the end of that cob. And, you know, when you don't fill that thing out, it's really hard to build those big yields out there in those cornfields.
I know you've got more time to spend in Indiana. Your quick assessment of Ohio this year compared to last year?
Well, I'd say we've definitely got a corn crop in Ohio that has more potential than we measured last year. You know, I guess the other thing to remember about last year's crop, we measured solid potential last year as well, but we did not get a very good finish to the year. So this corn crop in Ohio, I'd say, has more potential than last year. Now, again, that's, again, just based on one of the routes out of our nine. And when we get into Indiana tonight, that's going to be a real telling thing to see what all the routes managed to pull in. Because, of course, not every area has been as dry as I think this northwestern portion has been. The bean side of things, it's going to need, again, favorable weather to keep that yield or the pod counts that we're measuring out here in the fields. So, you know, it just underscores, once again, that end of the season finish is going to be critical to how these crops wrap up this 2009 growing season.
And Roger, can you tell me, do you have more folks out on all of the legs this year than you have in the past, and you're running more routes too?
Well, we're running, I think we actually have maybe just a few less scouts. This year, I believe on the east, we're running 9 to 10 routes every day. Last year, we are running more in the neighborhood of a dozen routes every day. So we're perhaps down just a little bit, but that's really not going to drop our coverage out because, you know, we still cover a pretty good chunk of the ground as we're going through.
Well, Roger, good luck as you make your way across to Illinois in the next couple of days in Indiana tomorrow, I know. And you'll be in, what, Bloomington tomorrow night?
Yes. Tomorrow night we're going to be in Bloomington, Illinois. That's where we'll wrap up and pull our final numbers out for Indiana. Tonight when we get into Fishers, Indiana, that's where we'll have our final Ohio numbers.
And are people invited to come out and see you?
We have, I believe, a few spots left for folks to come out. We do have an evening program that we put on as, you know, thanks to our sponsor Pioneer on the tour, you know, they do pull together a pretty nice meal for those people that come out, their guests and attendees, and then our Pro Farmer members also. But really the best way for folks to follow this is either on agweb.com, also, as you mentioned, on Twitter.
Right.
Ag Day Television also is going to have coverage, and then the coming issue of Top Producer Magazine will be having a crop tour special in it as well. So there's lots of ways to follow things, and of course, stations here like WILL and other member stations of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've got a lot of ways for folks to keep track of what's going on out in those fields.
Thanks for calling in, and we look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
You bet.
Same time. Thanks much. Roger Bernard, he's on the eastern leg of the Midwest Crop Tour that Pro Farmer has each and every year. We should talk with him again tomorrow. Have not heard from Chip Flory. Probably won't at this point, but if he calls in, we'll try to keep track of what he's up to. On the line, though, now with us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural cash. Grain Marks, folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Brian Stark, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Tell me about the basis in your area.
Well, basis, I think, for both corn and beans is somewhat still steady to firm. Obviously, we've seen, based on Friday's deliveries against the August bean contract, that maybe our tight old crop supply is starting to alleviate itself with new crop approaching. So basis may continue to move in as that spread continues to narrow back up closer to moving into those values being the same again.
Are you encouraged by recent action in the marketplace at all that it might have bottomed early?
You know, a little bit. I think today's action is quite interesting in corn. The fact that you can set a new low in the December contract, a recent low at 311.5, then to bounce a dime off of that low speaks volumes for maybe some end user demand.
I think it does. Indeed, tell us what your prices are for the day.
322 cash corn, fall corn 304, cash soybeans 1034, fall beans 939.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons, located right here in Champaign. Payne County back in 2 minutes with the agriculture weather forecast. You're listening to Illinois Public Media.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn signed new laws today making public records, board appointment, and state spending more transparent. The new legislation includes training so public employees know how to comply with public records laws, and it gives the Attorney General's office more authority in public records cases. A coordinator of a tent community for homeless people says they'll remain on the grounds of St. Mary's Catholic Church in Champaign for the time being. Abby Harmon is also asking the city for leniency for the Safe Haven community as winter nears. City has given the community until Friday to find an alternate location because it's illegal to camp in the city limits. Harmon says the city should reconsider its ban on living in non-permanent structures because of what she terms a housing crisis. She says Safe Haven could partially alleviate the crisis if the community were allowed to continue with an upgrade to so-called micro-houses. Negotiations between the cities of Champaign and Urbana and their cable TV provider Comcast may ramp up now that there's a suggestion to deny renewing the cable franchise, which runs out October 31st. Champaign City Council members will be asked to remove Comcast tomorrow night after talks have stalled over a number of points, including whether Comcast should keep a local office open and funding for local government and public access channels. But an attorney working for the two cities says talks are still going on in good faith. Police from the University of Illinois and the city of Champaign are stepping up campus patrols after a series of weekend fires. In an email to faculty and staff, University Police Chief Barbara O'Connor said the fires were reported between 5:09 and 5:32 yesterday morning. One fire burned the roof of a third-floor apartment, two were set in trash bins, and two others were set in piles of brush stacked against buildings. No one was injured and no one has been arrested. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago join us. Josh Starr is on the line. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
Oh, I've been following closely on the Ag Web and tweet sites for Twitter for them. The progress of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour across the Midwest, or, of course, in both the eastern and the western Corn Belt. I think either of them have gotten wet just yet, but they're probably going to get close. Can you tell me where
we're
going to
get
be?
There, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not
hey,
long
Todd.
Here at all.
Oh, hey, wait a second. Chip Flory is on the line with us. I'm pretty sure I just put him on, too. Josh, can you hang on just
a second?
Sure. Hi, Chip. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very good. Chip Flory is on the line. He's our meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy. Let me get a quick forecast for him, then we'll talk to you some more. Can you stay with me?
You bet.
All right. So, Josh, tell me about this forecast real quick.
Okay. Well, we have a frontal system pushing across Illinois this afternoon. So those folks in the eastern belt are likely going to see, you know, much more active rainfall and thunderstorm prospects the next 24 to 36 hours. And some of the moisture in this is actually coming up from the Gulf Coast with Tropical Storm Claudette, which made landfall in the Panhandle this morning. That's pushing a lot of tropical moisture up into the central and eastern portions of the Midwest, intersecting this front. And as we've seen, you know, multiple autumns and late summers over the past couple of years, that spells a rather widespread heavy rain event for the Midwest. And so we're seeing pretty widespread coverage here in the next 48 to 72 hours of rainfall amounts anywhere from 5/10 of an inch up to an inch and a half to 2 inches, and some isolated 4 to 5 inch amounts in those heaviest thunderstorm areas. And that's a lot of it has to do with Claudette that made landfall yesterday.
Chip, we can hear you, so just hang on a second. Hey, tell me, Chip's going to be running through that northern part of the Corn Belt. Is he going to get wet?
Northern Illinois here?
Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa actually is going to catch a break here for the next 24 to 36 hours before another system starts to move through there on Wednesday evening and Thursday. So actually tomorrow looks like a great day, and Wednesday morning looks great, too, before another front comes through Wednesday night, Thursday.
Josh, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Yep, bye-bye. Josh Starr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here. Oh, I just dropped Chip, too, so I guess we won't get a chance to talk with him. Sorry about that, but you have been listening to the Closing Mark Report. Maybe Chip will give me a call back. I'll tell you what we'll do. If he does, I will put that on our website. Actually, it'll be at WILLAG.org. There's Chip. Thanks, Chip, for calling back right away. We'll make sure that gets at willag.org. And you can listen to it. Chip, you've got 1 minute to summarize on the air live, and then we'll continue to talk to you and post it into our website as well. So what have you been finding on the western leg?
Okay, so far, southeast South Dakota, we saw a lot of green grass up there, guys. And when you see green grass in southeast South Dakota, you know that the corn and the soybean crop probably got plenty of moisture to make some good yields up there. We saw good yield potential. The thing that concerns us, and I know you know what the answer is going to be here, but the thing that concerns us is the maturity. Corn is probably 10 days, 2 weeks behind. It's going to need every bit of its full growing season to have a chance of reaching the yield potential that we're looking at out here. Soybeans, bean development is also behind what we'd like to see up in this part of the world. A lot of flat pods up here right now, and I'd like to see them filled out just a little bit more.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you more in about 10 seconds. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's been a Monday afternoon. More with Chip Flory on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.